tinted glass.
Woo! Welcome to another Death Curse Society, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, we're back. I'm your host, Red Crank. I got the Colonel, and I got Zigzag.
What the hell is going on out there?
I think we took a wrong turn in Albuquerque. Oh.
I just bet we should have turned left at Albuquerque.
Oh, God. The dad jokes are already starting, so it's going to get scary out here. Don't forget to hit subscribe on our YouTube channel. Make sure to follow us on social media and all that good stuff, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Check out our new website, deathcursesociety.com. And without any further ado, let's go camping.
You're going to Camp Blood, ain't you? You'll never come back again. It's got a death curse.
For Let's Go Camping today, we checked out the movie Wrong Turn for you to make sure you didn't make a wrong turn to go and see this movie. Or maybe you should have. Wrong Turn, despite warnings to stick to the Appalachian Trail, hikers stray off course and cross into land inhabited by a hidden community of mountain dwellers who use deadly means to protect their way of life. Suddenly under siege, the friends seem headed to the point of no return unless one man can reach them in time. Ooh. Colonel, you want to start us out on this? What do you think of Wrong Turn?
This isn't your father's wrong turn, okay? If you thought you're going into that, you're going to take a wrong turn on the plot. Overall, man, I didn't really think it was too bad. I kind of like how it started in the present. And then we flash back 6 weeks, and that's where we get the story. Saying this group of people were under siege is a bit of an oversell, because as you watch the movie, not really. Again, the cast of characters, I'm sure I'm not the only one that thought this. I had a hard time identifying with any of them. Adam, one of their buddies, like, fuck that guy. You know, they go in this whole small town, they're holier than thou. Look at the fucking rednecks, they ain't gonna tell us what to do. Thinking they're better than everybody, but then you got the rednecks being your stereotypical rednecks in these movies, and it kind of has a purpose by the end of it. You kind of understand why they're kind of like this. But man, I'll be honest, by the end of this, I really missed the original. Well, I didn't think it was a terrible film. I don't want to say too much because I know we're really going to dive into this. So my initial thoughts is, hey, not the original Wrong Turn. Get that shit out of your fucking head.
Right. Yeah, I think Alan B. McElroy, the writer, he tried to do everything he could to separate this film from the previous franchise. But my guess is that the studio refused to make it happen unless it had the Wrong Turn name attached to it. As many have said, this film relates in name only to the previous franchise, so it doesn't share that universe, I don't think, at all. Ziggy, what were your initial thoughts?
Yeah, man, Wrong Turn. What we have here is another studio-owned name. And they just decided, well, we're going to release another one. So here, you write this. We're going to call it Wrong Turn, but only because we own the name. Similar to that other movie that is never mentioned around here, in name only. It's not bad as it gets started. Like you said, you start in the present, and then they tell the 6 weeks ago story, what led up to the present. That's slick. It's cool. They handle it well. As it starts to play out, though, we'll get into it a little more, but the plot takes a turn. At least I found myself wishing there was some cannibalistic inbreds out in the woods. I'll leave it at that. And as we break further into it, it'll be more clear. But
I am completely different, I think, from both of you guys. Now, I did mention this does not share the same universe as Wrong Turn, but there are a few minor shared traits. A group of friends that are hiking in the deep woods and a group of inhabitants that are terrorizing the friends to a degree. Are they really terrorizing, though? That's the question I have for you guys later. Other than that, I don't see this as part of the franchise at all. And that's how I tried to think about it when I went into watching this movie for the first time. And I think that's why I enjoyed this movie. Now, honestly, I'm not a huge fan of the Wrong Turn franchise because I've only seen maybe the first couple. And one other thing I will say, as a child of the 80s, goddamn, it's good to see Matthew Modine back in a movie. Thank you, sir. Welcome back. Let's go into this. Did you like the differences this movie had from the rest of the franchise? Ziggy.
You know, you can't really hold a comparison with it on this really two different, completely different paths. Again, yeah. By name only, this movie. The difference is they're okay to a point when you start to figure out how things are working and why they're working the way they're working. then that's where they lost me, honestly. You know, I mean, it gets to about the third act and you're kind of like, really? There's something about like the inbred cannibal angle that is actually a little scary. You know what I mean? Because like you pretty much know what your fate is. You know, these are just regular people, I guess. I appreciate that they did take a different angle. Okay, yeah, they took that wrong turn plot and they rewrote the whole thing a different way. This seems more realistic, I guess, to a point. I just don't like the way, let's just call the community in the woods handled it. I would have rather seen some motherfuckers getting eaten and stuff like that and tortured just because these half-witted, you know, generations of inbreeding have made them absolutely devoid of human feelings, emotion, compassion, all that. That's what you got in Wrong Turn original set. This is, you know, the real thinking people and kind of a fucked up way of thinking, but still you can talk to them and they'll listen.
They have their ways. And we can call them the Foundation, by the way. The
Foundation. I was going to get to that too, but I mean, and why they're called the Foundation. That kind of saved it a little bit, that little bit of information. Mm-hmm. I appreciated that, but it's not enough to save the whole ship for me.
The differences really didn't throw me off because we've all seen the trailer. Hopefully everybody watching has seen the trailer. Everybody listening has seen the trailer. Trailer tells you this is not the same Wrong Turn movie. It's totally different. I mean, I did like the little throwback to the cliff where, you know, they're all standing there overlooking the mountains. I was like, oh, they did that in the first Wrong Turn. That's literally about the only thing you'll say. Oh, they did that in Wrong Turn. That's the only one you're going to fucking get. So I appreciated the fuck out of that. I was like, oh, cool. It didn't really take me out because I was expecting pretty much what I got. I wasn't thrown off too much. And Zach says, and these people are a little crazy. Honestly, their thinking really isn't too bad,
right?
In my opinion.
Right.
It's definitely a very socially conscious movie. We'll say that. There's definitely a political subtext this entire movie.
See, that's the thing. That's the point, though, right there that we're going to get into here in a minute.
Right.
Yeah.
Before we get too serious, let's talk about the acting and the actors in this real quick. How'd you guys feel with Charlotte Vega, Matthew Modine? Were you excited to see him again? And Bill Sage as King Villain.
Joker's less funny than he was when he was in Vietnam. And why the fuck does he sound like a Jarl from Skyrim? I'm telling you, every time that Bill Sage talked, I felt like I was playing Skyrim. Like he was chilling in a chair. Dragons are attacking. Yes, go do that. I wouldn't say she was terrible, but I wouldn't say she was impressive to me. She was just average actor. I mean, I just, like I said, no one in this film I really felt for. That's the shitty part.
I thought Charlotte Vega did a pretty decent job, honestly, because she had to go through a lot in that movie, obviously. And I thought she handled the swings from, you know, carefree hiker to woman in distress very well. I thought she did.
Acting is adequate. It's fine. But there's nothing that stands out that it's like, wow, what a performance. They do the job and it's fine. It's not bad. Because that'll take you out of any movie, a bad acting. To me, the material wasn't anything I'm going to dwell on. You got to consider what the material is. And that's where I think I get lost. So
I think we can go ahead and say the Foundation was created in 1859 as part of a group of families that got together. They saw the decline of the United States about to happen in front of them. They decided to form a community of their own, which they called the Foundation. They've been out there in the woods of Virginia ever since. They have their own laws. They have their own duties. Everybody has different assignments throughout their community. The thing I kind of liked about this movie is you could see it from both sides, and it'd be hard to tell who was in the wrong because the kids basically did this to themselves. That's the way I took it. It's almost like a morality tale, and it's right in the middle of that is when Jennifer is talking about the morality of, well, you just killed a man for no reason. No, he had me tied up. I didn't know what he was going to do with me. We thought he had killed Mila. Well, they hadn't. You know, all this is going on, and this was their form of justice. Did you guys like the morality tale of it, Ziggy?
I'm okay with how it went, but I mean, at the same time, even though that dude's an asshole, yeah, they said they were helping him. But wait a minute, dude. He got dragged underground by a fucking chain. You know?
But that could have been for an animal. That could have been a trap for food. for an animal, not necessarily a person.
Looked like he was ready for the fucking, you know what I mean? The fire thing with the slow cook, with the, you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, we've seen it in every Bugs Bunny cartoon. That looks like they were heading, and then, you know, our heroes show up and save him, and then, you know, he reacts by grabbing a stick, and, you know, the two beings are standing there. By the way, these people in the woods are dressed, they got, like, skulls and big fur fucking costumes on, you know, so you don't know what the fuck. They could be cannibals. I mean, I guess that's the point of it, but, I mean, the asshole snaps and grabs a stick. He doesn't know what they were going to do to him, so they beat the shit. They smash the head of the one. The other one escapes, and then, yeah, and then later on we find out that the Foundation is a little more civilized than some inbred cannibals. They got a whole structure and a whole pyramid, as it seems, and a judge making the decisions, the leader, the chief, whatever you want to call him. This is where the difference is a really blinding. From that point, once the reveal is there, it's a big drop off, man, in the story and the payoff.
Was the morality tale enough for you to get you interested in that second act, or, you know, the whole, to simplify it, don't judge a book by its cover kind of storyline?
Yeah, I really appreciate it and really liked it and dug it. We'll go back to kind of like the beginning of the movie here, where the Adam guy's being a dick. You know, he's the out-of-towner. He's going in with no respect for these people. I was raised, and I'm raising my children. You always show respect, especially if you're from out-of-town. You're respectful as shit.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm probably reaching world reach here, but I know the majority of the world complains about us Americans as being arrogant and everything else. So that really kind of hit the nail on the head for me when we got there, because, you know, got your disrespectful younger group of people made the right assumption, because any person in their right mind in our society would be like, what the, you know, fucking they took him. Like, of course they're going to protect themselves. I mean, these people aren't speaking fucking English. They're speaking their own language, which that's the only thing I thought was strange, because obviously they can speak both. Why the fuck didn't they say, hey, hold on. They're like, but speaking in fucking tongues of these people, like they're going to know what the fuck they're saying. It's always about perspective. Everything's about perspective. What's evil to some is good to others, and vice versa. That's what I took from it, and that's what I love about it, because this is one of the few movies that actually took it from that point of view. Like, okay, well, everything makes sense to both groups of people and why the other ones are in the wrong. I thought it was a great way to keep that second act going. Then, but one more thing, the political thing, people, just so you know, if you're watching, one, I did kind of think these people fit in The Walking Dead, and I'm like, oh, okay, there's Alexandria, pretty much. And for two, I really like how one of the characters, I don't want to go too much, pretty much walked into his fucking utopia. The Foundation is everything he fucking wanted.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really cool little twist, too.
I saw that first moment where you see the two members of the Foundation carrying the guy. And yes, he's tied up to a big stick. He's got a bag over his head. Yes, it does look like he's due for some barbecue. Definitely. But what if they were just taking him back close to town and going to let him go? They had the bag on his head because they've separated themselves from the world so much that they don't want this guy to wake up and look around and know where they are. They were taking him to safety, dropping him off, and going back home to go back hunting. The reason they had him tied up like that is because they were hunting. If you find a bear, you're going to truss him up like that on that stick and carry him back to your camp.
At that time when that scene's happening, though, we don't have any contact with them with that mask like that. But as later on, as the rest are captured, every time they move them around, they throw a bag on their head. And that supports what you just said a lot more, you know. So I was like, okay, I can probably get on with that maybe they were going to take him to the outskirts. But who knows? Maybe they were taking him to the darkness.
I don't think they were, though, because he hadn't done anything to them yet. The moment that he attacked one of them, that's when their fates were sealed. And they even said in the court, don't lie. You know, Adam's the one that murders the guy. Now, granted, he thinks in his mind that this is justifiable because he's trying to protect himself and he's defending Mila, who he thinks is dead probably. But she's not. And we don't know what their intentions are. So he kills this guy. When they're in court in front of the Foundation, Adam is sentenced to death, and then the others are warned, you know, during this trial, don't lie, and you're the only one, Jennifer, that can speak, so don't lie, or it will be a punishment on the rest of you, too. Sadly, she does. If she had said, yeah, he killed him, sorry, yeah, he probably would have still died, but they might have gotten bagged and taken back to town. That's the way I saw it.
I don't know, because even the townsfolk were kind of like, they're well aware of these, of the foundation and keeping people out of there.
Right. Absolutely, you know, they are. And they're absolutely the fuck away.
They're kind of guardians of that, you know? I mean, not wanting to be affiliated with them, just like, hey, they're fuck up there. Just let them be. Stay right. the hell out of there. Stay on the path. It's what they're warned all the time and everything. And then later on, some of the folks that were, you know, getting taunted by our kids, our group here, actually show up to rescue and everything. So, I mean, they did think this out and everything. I don't know. I just would have been happier with cannibals and inbreds.
You like the inbreds?
Just, you know, there's something about you can't reason with a fucking, you know, animal like that, you know.
Now, personally, I thought this one had decent effects on it. Starting to wonder now with you guys, I don't know what you're going to think. Colonel, what was your favorite gory effect in this?
Let me start off to clear it up. In this movie, you rarely see the effects leading to it. It's pretty much all after effects.
Right.
Until then you get CGI blood splashing on the fucking screen and shit. Get that out of the way. Boom. For me, it really was, and it probably wasn't even the best. It was just the one that hit me more. Was that dude getting between that fucking pin between that log and the tree, and he's just all fucking smashed.
Yeah,
that was teeth hanging out and shit. I was like, oh, like that's the first one. I made an audible noise watching that. Like, oh shit, that's awesome. I mean, I thought the gore was fucking fantastic. Granted, I would have liked to have seen it during the process, but hey, beggars can't be choosers. They did a fine job where you can see the after effects of what the fuck happened to these people.
Very rarely do you actually see a strike or a connection between the two people. It's always, as Colonel said, it's you see what happened after, you know. And it's funny, they're all running. That's kind of the first time they kind of scatter about. A big fucking giant tree comes rolling down a hill. There's trees everywhere, you know what I mean? And yet they're scattering every which way, but every time they turn around, the tree is right behind all of them.
I like how log is rolling this way, so they all decide to run this way instead right. of if it's rolling towards me, going that way.
The thing I said too, and I was like, fucking idiot deserved it. Because literally, you're running away in the same direction this fucking log's going down a fucking mountain. So that thing's just getting momentum going faster than you right. fucking can. When I'm like, well, if they just went this way, it'd have been fine. Just
exactly.
Fucking clearing on the hill that's all up the tree that's 50 feet tall and 10 feet fat, it's coming running down, doesn't hit anything except the people, and then hits a tree to stop.
Dude, but it was funny watching them running through these trees and fucking flying around and shit. Like,
they all get their, that's where they
I was take laughing my ass wounds. Off.
Man. They take their wounds rolling down the hill in the forest, running away from a giant tree. The only good thing about that scene is the fact when you get up and see the guy that actually gets hit. And yeah, he's smashed really good.
Yeah, that one's that's a brutal makeup right there.
And then you get the only other one I can really remember that stands out, Adam, the asshole that caused all this, really. He gets Negan'd.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up. You know,
Negan?
Negan'd, yeah.
Is that a verb now?
Sure. Because this is what happens to him. He gets his fucking head whacked with the same stick he used to kill the guy that was rescuing him.
Right.
If that's the way we're going.
I'm not saying that's the case, but that's the theory. And I think that's the...
And that's their claim. That is their claim. That's right. They were claiming, hey, we were just going to take him out this way and set him free.
The effect I enjoyed, probably the most, I would say, was the guy that they found when they were trying to escape and that was stuck in the darkness and had his eyes burned out. And I thought that was well done. Simple, but that scene was a good one, I thought, when they run across him.
There's a lot of people in there. I mean, it was almost people under the stairs-esque. There's just this whole cave or whatever they got him in. Everyone's got their eyes poked out.
That's the punishment. That's
right. The darkness. You're in the darkness.
Right.
But, you know, they're devolving in the darkness as well, because when someone goes down, you know, a couple of them start munching on them and shit. So it's, you know, okay. That would have been a little bit cooler too, to add some more horror to this, but all right. You know, we got a taste.
That group could escape at some point and just tear loose. That'd be kind of an interesting thought.
Wrong turn to the dark. Colonel just wants to bust out with that darkness song. I believe in a thing called love. Just listen to the way.
Oh. Do we want to talk about the ending? I think Ziggy does. So be careful, folks. Might get a little spoilery here.
Basically, our protagonist, hero, and heroine agrees to join, giving herself to the tribe for whatever that means. And you know what it means.
Mm.
Modine comes in, all guns blazing, and he looks like he's going down too. And then guess what? Our locals from the bar that got taunted ruthlessly at the beginning of the film are the ones here to rescue our clueless city slickers. So it appears we've escaped, and you feel the movie's over, and then we flash forward a couple months later. Oh, she's now assisting her dad. She's involved with the business and doing a great job. Everything's great. Everything's great. And then daughter goes home. Stepmom and her stepbrothers are, oh no, we have a guest. And it's the supreme chief from the tribe again. He's charmed his way into the house. He's saying all kinds of cryptic things right to the girl, you know, and right in front of the boys and the stepmom. And they're just like, oh, stay for dinner. And just clueless, completely clueless. Right. She's, you know, freaking out seeing him again. And then she basically says, okay. She's like, she gets her mom and the boys to leave the kitchen and just says, all right, let's go. So they all jump into the camper and they're all driving away. And you think, well, that's how it's going to end. She's back with the tribe and she's going back to the foundation, and that's it. You can't escape the foundation. Yes. The RV starts swerving all over the road and crashes. Two of the soldiers come falling out of the RV and she's right on top of them. She stabs the shit out of the one. The other one's stumbling away wounded. She runs him down, stabs him about 15 times. And this is while the credits are rolling. The little girl walks out. They grab hands and they do a nice 5-minute walk slowly towards the camera during the credits.
It's not 5-minute walk.
For a movie like Wrong Turn, when you had this foundation of the cannibals, the inbreds, that whole thing, man, I think you lost something when you went this way with this foundry and now you got him chasing around the girl and she's knocked up, you know, with his kid. And it's just, I don't know, man. I just thought it was just too easy. I thought it was too, just not satisfying for me.
I like that ending, actually, for some reason, because for me, just inbred cannibals, they're so simple that there's not much to them. There's not a motive or a purpose much of besides just surviving.
That's what's scary.
Well, but these people have more of a purpose. I mean, it's mostly surviving, but they have a more grounded reality around them to me. So that's what makes it a better story, in my opinion, anyway. And the fact that there could be members of the foundation that want revenge in a Wrong Turn 2.
Wrong Turn 2, The Darkness.
Or they come back for the unborn child. Well, and I also like that this foundation was created before the Civil War. And even though it was right around that time, Adam and a couple of the others, groups of friends, kind of just, oh, fucking Confederacy. That's all this is. You know, they kind of laughed it off, but they were wrong. It wasn't the Confederacy. I think this foundation thought maybe the Confederacy was going to win the Civil War. So they were like, oh, fuck this shit, I'm out. And that's why they started.
See, I'm kind of with Zag on this one. Really didn't care for the ending. The third act, the escape, the final chase was great. Mm-hmm. I mean, it actually kept me entertained. I counted the number of shots. I knew when all six shots were done and he went to go shoot one more. I'm like, oh, it's empty, motherfucker. Didn't count. They get down the mountain. There's a few more local people. You know, they're driving away and, you know, offers the dad some shine. And he's like, no. He's like, suit yourself. I was like, after a night like that, motherfucker, I drink some of that shine. Fade to black, credits. That would have been perfect. Nope. Like Zag said, you fast forward, we'll say 2 months. She's at the job site. She goes back. There he is, sitting there looking like fucking Al Borland from Home Improvement. The groupie at the table.
She was coming on to him, and he was coming unglued faster than the last thing he glued.
She's not coming on to him.
No, you just wouldn't understand. You're not a sexual creature like me.
Like the beard and shit, the flannel.
No, I agree. It just got me.
Looks like that My Pillow guy.
Oh, no, God.
So she leaves. Fade to black. Would have been a perfect ending. But no, because, you know, hey, it's ending on a downer. Dude, I dig this. Okay, I'll take a fucking downer ending. No, they start driving. I'll be honest, when the RV first started fucking going, I was thinking maybe dudes didn't know how to drive. Like, I thought it was going to be like a joke. Like, they were going to make that right at that stop sign. Just keep fucking going. No, but they wreck, and she comes out and stabs the shit out of people and grabs Ruby's hand, just walks away from the camera. This ending's just stupid. It was just stupid for me. Because she stabbed the shit out of these guys in the middle of broad daylight in fucking suburbia. Someone's going to see that shit. You're telling me no one heard that fucking RV wreck. So it doesn't really fucking matter. She's going to jail. Her life's fucking done. Rather, she went with them. She should have just stayed with them. This was a very political movie, not based on party, but based on ideals that we have going on right now in this country. I will not go into detail because they didn't go into detail, but it's there for you to find.
Damn it, guys. I don't know. I enjoyed the ending. I thought the ending was like that little bow tie just right on top. Just bing. It makes the gift perfect. The reason I like the ending is because I think she's a strong character. And I think she portrayed a strong character throughout. She was smart enough to make choices to try to protect her friends. That didn't work for them. She was smart enough to make choices to protect herself. And that worked out. As soon as I saw the RV going down the street, I knew what was going to happen.
True, but for comedic effect, it really should have been just dude didn't know how to drive. And they took that right at the stop sign and kept fucking going. That's just how my mind works. That's how she thinks. Killing. I think of the stupid shit that could happen to make me laugh. I was like, oh, wait a minute. This is serious.
They show the RV going and it takes a left. And then it comes back and it goes the other way. Because it took a wrong turn. All right. It looks like we differ on these rankings, gang. So, Ziggy, you want to start with a number?
It's a decent story. It's not the worst fucking movie you ever saw. But, I mean, man, there's just other movies where there's been communities out in the woods, in the middle of nowhere, in the rural areas of wherever, that are done better than this, in my opinion. And having said that, a couple of good gore spots in it. There's no scares. You know, the music doesn't do anything to accentuate or get you tense. Wrong Turn, the remake, the reboot, is going to get a 5.5.
You mentioned you've seen this done before, much better. Was Antebellum one of those situations?
100%.
Okay.
Shit, this motherfucker lives in Michigan. He sees it on the daily with all these fucking militias that got up in the northern part of the fucking peninsula.
Well, you're pretty close to Virginia where this takes place, so.
Not that close. It really wasn't a bad movie. By all means, watch it, but I don't want to give it like a 6.
Like I said, man, I kind of enjoyed the hell out of this. I appreciated seeing Matthew Modine again. I thought Charlotte Vega was a strong actress. It was good to see Bill Sage again. He's normally just a creepy, fucked up actor. I like it when he pops up in roles. I like the morality tale. I like the don't judge a book by its cover underlying theme. I don't mind the political aspects of this movie because it's not just shoved in your face. I dug this movie, man. I can't help. I don't know why. I didn't. Maybe it's because I'm not a fan of the Wrong Turn movies. But Wrong Turn has a pretty solid fan base. There are a lot of people that really like that series.
I can't wait to see what the whole overall from the 90s to 21, how the real franchise devotees feel about this film. That's what I'm curious.
They hated it. I mean, but that was their big complaint was, it's nothing like the Wrong Turn franchise. We want the Wrong Turn franchise. That's all their complaint was. This movie sucks. You know, well, kind of like back in the 80s, whenever Friday the 13th Part 5 came out. Well, there's no Jason in this. This movie sucks. But now it's kind of...
Well, even a more recent example, you have Child's Play, the reboot of that. Mm-hmm. It was pretty much Child's Play and title only. And that was a good movie. I'm not even saying this was a bad movie. I'm not that huge of a fan of Wrong Turn. What was the horror? Like, there's no jump scares. It just left a lot to be desired. Not saying it's a bad movie.
It's a thriller, man. It's not a fucking horror movie.
I wouldn't even call it a thriller. It's a fucking social commentary piece.
There were some jump scares in there. You had the snake. You had the tree actually hitting all the traps. Those are all kind of
more comical than scary. Like when that fucking chick's running, she goes, I'm sorry, maybe I have a weird sick sense of humor. But I was laughing my ass off watching these people get hurt running away.
I'm going to give it a 7.5. I really am. I like this one. I'm kind of pissed off that I only rented it because I had the option to buy it for only like $4 more. And I'm pissed that I didn't. It's like, but I talked myself out of it because I was like, man, everyone says this movie sucks. I'm not going to like it, blah, blah, blah. I don't like the Wrong Turn franchise anyway. I'm just going to pay $6 to rent it rather than $10 to buy it. And now I'm kicking myself. I should have fucking bought it because I'm going to pay to buy it again somewhere down the road anyway. Wrong Turn. Let us know what you think of the film in the comments below. Which one of us do you agree with? Do you agree that it's more social commentary? Does it deserve a 6 like the Colonel thinks, or lower like Ziggy thinks? Or does it deserve higher like I think? Let us know in the comments. And that's going to wrap it up for Let's Go Camping. We'll be back shortly. Woo!
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to Monday Maniacs from Death Curse Society. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Stick around. Thanks for tuning in to the official Death Curse Society podcast, gang. Did you know we also have a website? Well, God damn it, we do. DeathCurseSociety.com. Get over there, check it out. Look at all the stuff we've got. We've got all our YouTube episodes on there. We've got a membership program. We've got our store. You can buy some cool-ass shit. So get over there, DeathCurseSociety.com, and check it out. Woo!
The Death Curse Society has just become an associate producer on the film.
Yes.
Woo! Bravo. Woo! Bravo. Death Curse Society, guys, is so awesome. I met the guys, all three of the guys, at Indianapolis last year for Horror Hack. And I met those dudes, and I got to tell you, like, I hung out with them. We took pictures. I signed some stuff. They gave me a T-shirt. It was awesome. They are awesome guys. So super cool. I am so glad to have them on board this campaign and also on board the film. And now they are going to be IMDb credited as producers on this movie.
Hi, this is Doc Bradley, Pinhead from the Hellraiser movies, and you're watching Death Curse Society. You better keep watching, or I will tear your soul apart.
All right, gang, welcome back to Death Curse Society. It is time for some stories around the campfire. So we checked out the trailer for Stay Out of the Fucking Attic, which is coming to Shudder on March 11th. Let's chat about it. Ziggy, what'd you think of this one? You looking forward to this?
Wow, looks like a gore fest, which, you know, I'm happy about that. Kind of caught a kind of a Cronenberg vibe there. I hope I'm right with that, but we'll see. We'll see. Just a hint.
Just a touch of Cronenberg. A
touch of Cronenberg would be good. Looks like we got us a freaky Nazi fucking doctor going to do some shit on some people, man. How could that not be interesting? You know, we've had other good horror movies with the Nazi theme to it. Dead Snow comes to mind. So, I mean, hey, this looks interesting to me. I want to see it.
All right. How about you, Colonel? The trailer catch you the same way?
Oh, fuck yeah. You got gore, you got comedy, you got Nazis. You know, soon you're not going to be able to do Nazis unless you do timepieces because they're all fucking dead or almost dead. Any World War II veteran. So, fuck yeah. This is like right up my alley. Like, just only worries me that it's going to be fucking really stupid. But that's okay, because if there's good gore, I don't give a fuck. I'll watch it.
Yeah, this one looks interesting to me. I'm interested to see it. I hope it's not, even though the trailer kind of leads me to believe it's kind of a Tarantino knockoff film in a way. Yeah, this one looks fun. I'm definitely curious to see this. Is there any other movies besides Dead Snow that you can relate this to or compare this to, Colonel?
Go over a little more of a recent pool. It's a loose pool at best. It's the kind of ones I like. Overlord. I mean, this takes place during World War II, but you know, you got these soldiers land, these Nazis are doing these fucking experiments on people, and you pretty much have zombies. So you got Nazi experiments. There you go.
Well, Colonel brought up an interesting point. He says, you know, we may not be able to use Nazis as a villain in movies here in the near future. So, who would replace the Nazi characters as villains? Ziggy.
Skinheads, fucking, could be the goths at this point. Who the fuck knows, man? I mean, anything could step in there and take that role over. I don't know. I mean, you know, Nazis are pretty typecast at this point, you know what I mean? So, they're pretty much the top baddie of the organized free worlds. I just think you'd have to just, you know, adjust your sets to the time, you know, and get your costumes right. You could still do Nazi stories. Just can't have any real official Nazis in it, I guess.
Well, that's what I said. You'd do like time pieces because yeah. Pretty soon it's not going to be believable there's a mad Nazi scientist alive anymore. Not really that believable now.
Maybe he was like in the back corner at Auschwitz and watching the things go down, the experiments. Could do it. Gives you a nice 20, 30 year buffer.
It gives you like a 10 year buffer. So instead of being 90, this motherfucker's going to be 80.
Okay. Modern medicine is a wonderful thing these days.
I love the fact that you mispronounced Munich at first, but you nailed Auschwitz.
Well,
I was expecting
Auschwitz, the meaning of pain, the way that I want you to die.
I was expecting you to pronounce it like, oh, shits. So far, Shudder has been doing pretty well with this rotation of films that they've been dropping every Thursday for the last few weeks. I'm hoping this one sticks with the theme, fits well. It seems to be right up these guys' alley, in my alley as well. We will check it out and let you know what we think. It drops March 11th on Shudder. Get ready, folks. We recently got to check out the movie on Shudder, The Dark and the Wicked. Plagued by waking nightmares, two siblings suspect that something evil is taking over their family at an isolated farmhouse. Colonel, what do you think about this one?
I think I had a little higher hopes for this movie going into it than when I got with the finished product. I was expecting a nice slow burn, which we kind of got. You know, it's a paranormal movie, par for the course. That's what I was expecting. It just really didn't grab my attention. I mean, there's parts where I just got fucking bored. Now, when you have the ghost and, you know, like, especially the dead mother coming back to the son and all that, I mean, it had some freaky elements to it, some real scary elements. The musical score, I thought, was great. Like, it really did a great job building up the tension. It just, the story just wasn't there for me. I'm so disappointed to say that. It's just, it's so much potential to be great, and there's great aspects to it. I just, literally, there's times where I just, next thing our reactions, pick up my phone, check something real quick, and I go back.
Yeah, I'm a lot like you in this respect. This was one of those movies I was dozing off watching. This one was hard for me to get through. Ziggy, how about you? Initial thoughts on The Dark and the Wicked.
I disagree with you guys on this one. This is your classic devil finding some people that aren't really believers in God. And someone realizing what's happening and they're kind of documenting what's happening and listen, a lot of this isn't explained very well at all of why it's happening. All you really need to know is there's a demon devil out there. The kids come back to the house because dad is on a breather. He's on oxygen. He's unconscious. Mom's taking care of him, but mom has got fucking problems. Mom has got huge problems. It's a goat farm too, by the way, in rural Texas, another rural out in the middle of nowhere. The kids come back. You find out they're not believers in God at all. It's up to you. This is another one that has interpretation to it because they don't really ever tell you what the fuck is coming for them and stuff. But I mean, it is creepy. It is good. Very much a slow burn. Soundtrack is excellent. A couple of times, you know, they attempt that weaker jump scare where it's just something appears in the background. You know, I thought they missed a little bit with that, like some of the music cues. But I mean, overall, man, it's a pretty nice package. However, as it started to go on, and again, I could not get past the brother in this movie could have been the Colonel's bearded menace brother. I could not get past this the whole fucking movie. I was like, God damn it. There's Colonel again. This movie isn't by far the worst thing. I do think it's better than the Wrong Turn thing we just talked about, but for different reasons, you know, maybe because I was raised into Catholic religion and stuff like that. I'm familiar with a lot of this stuff that they talk about, you know what I mean? So, and that's the point to scare you. What I like about it is like the demon chooses things to fuck with the people, like in a harsh way. It's very mental, you know, and like, and the things you have to face and see would grind most people out. You would just go mad from the sight. So I appreciated that a lot. It does fade quick in the end, and the payoff, not so much. This isn't a bad watch, man, for that kind of spooky, kind of religious overtone kind of movie here. This is not the worst.
This is one I'm probably going to go back and rewatch at some point because normally religious and demonic undertone movies, I dig those a lot normally. And this one, for some reason, just like Colonel said, just didn't grab me. I don't know what it was yet. Well, what did you guys think about the effects in this movie? There was a scene where someone is basically cutting their own fingers up like carrots. I thought that was pretty well done. Did you guys appreciate some of the other effects, Colonel?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of liked seeing the rotting corpse of the mother. I could not get past that CGI spider.
Yeah.
That every time that was on screen, that just irked me. I don't even know why.
Look, man, the little baby meme going around with the spider comes out of the baby's mouth and it starts smacking the shit out of himself looks better than these spiders.
Yeah, exactly. It looked like a fucking Instagram filter or some shit.
Yeah.
It was just terrible. Don't let that fool you. A lot of the effects are pretty good. Now, I really dug the hospice caretaker. I enjoyed her scene quite a bit until she started blinking. And I'm like,
I caught that too.
You know, fucked up. Like, now I'm totally out of it.
Well, you can't put a 4-inch spike into your eyeball, knitting needle, and then, yeah, you can't blink at that point. You got to have a couple of sockets there with some ooze coming out. I tell you what, I was absolutely cringing when that chick started hacking her fingers up when she was cutting that carrot, you know, because this is the only time they did practical effects. It's spectacular. It is good. Whatever they used, perfect. And they even glued little fingernails on it and shit. It's fucking horrible, man. It's that kind of disturbing. You know what I mean? These people are getting so taxed with this fucking demon and what it's doing. Shit starts going haywire in a quick. You got to kind of grab onto that and just go with it. You know what I mean? Just take that as like they're being tortured by something from beyond.
This is one of those movies that you almost can't trust anything that's happening in it to be a part of its reality, because everything is just a demonic occurrence. Those can be tricky films to make. What did you think of the acting in this film, Ziggy? Did you appreciate it? Was it all right?
It was all right. They never take you out of it with bad acting, something we frown upon around here, and they carry their roles fine. There are lessons here, I guess, that it's trying to teach. It's one of the slower burning stories we've done in a while. If you're into that whole demonic presence being around, and especially on a rural farm in Texas, this is for you, totally. The acting will not take you out 100%.
Except for the blinking.
Well, when someone stabs themselves in the eye with a knitting needle, you do expect to see less blinking. I will give you that.
The acting was adequate. I mean, like Zach said, it did the job. The acting wasn't so bad. It took me on the story. Like I said, it's just the minutes upon minutes of talking and nothing really just pulled me out of the fucking story. It had nothing to do with the acting. It's just they just kept going on and on and on. Oh, I found mom's diary.
Oh, yeah, it was a sign.
Demons, demons, demons. We need to get dad out of here. It's ain't good for him.
Yeah, but
I found these crosses from Sunday school in your mom's pocket. You want to keep them? We didn't go to church. We don't believe. Like, that's the fucking movie. Sorry. One of Crank's like.
This is why the Colonel is not an Academy Award winning actor, ladies and gentlemen.
I did better than some.
Colonel, why don't you start with the rating on this one for The Dark and the Wicked?
Slow burn, spiritual / paranormal movie. Great soundtrack. Adequate acting, decent scares, story leaves much to be desired. I really thought about this. I'd have to give this score a 5 out of 10.
He went there, didn't he?
You know what? I'll allow it. Let it go, man.
Somebody give him a hand. Ziggy, you got a number for this?
Yeah, 2 open spots on the show for these fucking guys I just fired. Fuck, man.
What did I do?
You just said give him a hand. You think I didn't hear that? Compared to what we've been watching, I mean, now we're getting to be 6-8 movies into this thing. The ones we saw last week, I didn't like as much as this one. So based on that religious connection to it, I thought it was pretty good. And it's creepy enough. It will get your hair standing up slightly here and there. And that's worth it. So this movie, from me, will get a 6.5.
I found myself not being able to focus on this one for some reason. I'm normally a fan of slow burns. I'm normally a fan of religious undertone movies, which this one started out like. And I thought, hell yeah, this is right down my alley. And then, like Colonel said, the story just kept dragging so much. This one for me is just going to get a 5. Tell us we're wrong, though. The Dark and the Wicked is available now on Shudder. Go watch it, check it out, and then come back and let us know what you think in the comments below. Next up, we got a little piece of news for you. It sounds like somebody's getting ready to piss us all off again, because Silent Night, Deadly Night is being rebooted for a new movie in 2022. Zigzag, you're a fan, aren't you?
Of the originals. I just feel like this is going to be a political, social fucking shame fest. I just got a bad vibe on this one right when I read about it. So prove me wrong.
How about you, Colonel? Excited for this or wary?
A little beyond wary. No fault of its own. I'm expecting this movie to be a piece of shit. I mean, I love the first Silent Night, Deadly Night. Keyword I said first. The second one's pretty much just a retelling of some added scenes of the first. That other loose reboot that came out a few years ago, a decade ago, whatever. That doesn't count. That's kind of like
potentially.
It just. You don't exist in my world. Is it necessary? I don't think so. fuck, you got this guy running around dressed as Santa Claus. I don't care if people say Merry Christmas. I don't care if people say Happy Holidays. But they're going to say it one way. It's going to piss one group or another off for no fucking reason. It's like, it's a dude running around slashing people up dressed as Santa. Who gives a fuck? But I'm sure it'll be Silent Night, Deadly Night, and it's going to take place at a sorority and have nothing to do with the original film.
Wait, is Blumhouse doing this?
I wouldn't be surprised if they were.
Maybe that's the motivation behind this Santa Claus killer, is he only kills people if they say Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays.
That could be.
Or vice versa. Would that would just be the worst political statement ever.
It's just ripe for that, isn't it? And if that's the only reason they chose to make this, then everybody involved, prepare for a bashing.
I remember when the first Silent Night, Deadly Night came out, there was a huge controversy about it because, oh my God, you can't make Santa Claus a killer. Parents were just freaking out about it. Christmas Evil was another one. They boycotted a lot of these.
Yeah, people were really hard up protecting Santa Claus's image back then. I hope that they choose a more traditional, classic kind of time where Santa was held in higher regard. But I just don't see it. In my mind, I see opportunists going, oh, we need to fix this.
What about you, Colonel? You think it could be something along those lines?
Man, I don't know. I mean, Santa Claus being a killer? No, the world's beyond that now. I think it's going to be controversial for all the wrong reasons, though. Not that fact Santa's a killer. It's going to be for everything else. I almost feel like, I know all movies are a cash grab. It's a business. You're trying to make money. I guarantee they're going to make this movie controversial for controversy's sake. You got to see this movie. Everybody's hating. Well, everybody hates on everything now.
Gatorade is flowing freely in this world. The movie that will not be named. Don't learn your lesson, man. Don't do this path. Don't do it.
What if, though, in 10 years, the movie that shall not be named becomes like some kind of cult classic and people are clamoring for it? You don't see that happen?
That is the funniest fucking thing I've heard in about a month.
Funny, but I would not be surprised. As long with the Kraft legacy, I can see those two movies being huge cult classics 10, 15 years from now. Yeah. I'll be honest, I did not expect, say, Jennifer's Body to have the following it has now when it came out.
No shit.
I'm telling you, dude, a lot of the people we grew up, the three of us like, they're getting older. They're eventually going to pass on, and you got the cast reunion from the movie that shall not be named. It's going to be headlining Horror Hound 2032, and that's what we're going to go see because that's what we got.
Bleh.
I know. Sad but true.
I will not be attending that.
Will not be covered. No reunion panels, no fucking box sets, no fucking board games, video games of the movie that shall not be named will ever be mentioned on the Death Curse Society airwaves. And that's
it. Well, 10 years from now, when these two guys retire, I will, because I know we'll get a few views.
It's not age, it's experience. It's like leveling up.
Not getting older, getting better.
Keep that in mind, ladies.
We're
not even talking about the movie anymore. That's how much excitement we have for the Silent Night, Deadly Night rebooting coming out sometime in 2022 is when it's scheduled. Oh, yeah, this sounds like
a soapbox. Soapbox, stay at home. Go make a horror movie about Santa Claus. And you'll win. It's that simple.
Yeah. This sounds like a disaster waiting to happen. But we're going to follow it. We're going to cover it and hope it doesn't turn into, the movie that shall not be named.
There's only two that shall not be named on this show.
Wait, what's the other one?
The remake.
Oh.
John Carpenter. Oh, not okay. By John Carpenter. The remake sold by John Carpenter.
Gotcha.
About Precipitation.
Keep following. We'll let you know what we find out about Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, say, I'll be right back. Because you won't be back.
I'm getting another beer. You want one?
Yeah, sure.
I'll be right back!
Everybody's on social media these days. Well, Death Curse Society is too. Look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And also, don't forget to look for us on YouTube. We drop videos on there all the damn time, and you don't want to miss it. It's good stuff. Death Curse Society. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Woo!
So we checked out the trailer for Coco D, Coco Da. What the fuck is this? Colonel, let's get your thoughts on this one first.
Coco D, Coco Da, what the fuck did I just watch? La, la, la. Because I don't understand. It's all over the fucking place. You got your drawings of fucking birds and shit. Like I said, you got the dude dressed up like a fucking carny. What is this movie about? I don't know. As long as you've seen Coco Da. Whatever it was. I don't see. I done fucked up the lyrics. I wouldn't last. That's my reaction. I don't know.
Yeah, this one seems like it's going to be a very odd movie. Maybe even David Lynchian. Ziggy, what did you think of this trailer?
Same thing, man. It's just, it doesn't really give a whole lot. Kind of like the same thing. Like we have some kind of society out in the woods, perhaps. Some cannibals, perhaps inbreds. I don't know. Here's something that I've learned about American horror over the last 30 plus years of going to the theater and seeing horror movies and watching trailers. You get every 2 seconds, a new quote pops up that this is the scariest movie of the year. This is, you'll never be able to sleep again. You'll all these claims made, the more extreme the claim, the tamer and lamer the film's going to be. I'm kind of on a foreign film kick right now. I'm into it just because I like the art like that. It does seem super weird and strange. Kids dressed like a bunny and you're hearing music and stuff, but then they don't give you anything else. You get Colonel Sanders coming in. Someone's dropping a fucking Randy Savage elbow on a tent with someone in it, I think. And we don't know. There was a whole lot of praise for this fucking movie from 2019, by the way. We're just getting it here now through Shudder. I'm just saying, man, when you see everybody boasting about how great and fucking scary it is, it's almost 100% the opposite. That's my stance right now, but I am looking forward to seeing this. Prove me wrong. I'm not going to raise the bar just too high. Fucking, as Tom Atkins said, fucking thrill me.
This movie just leaves me confused. Or the trailer just leaves me confused. I don't mind when movies leave me confused, but if a trailer does, that doesn't necessarily make me want to watch it. So, I mean, I will, obviously. But this one's a hard sell. Now, unless ABBA shows up and they turn it into a musical halfway through it, then I am down. But Coco D, Coco Da does not interest me at all. At all. And the Music Man ripoff looking guy.
And that's trouble. Yes, you got lots and lots of trouble. I'm thinking of the kids in the Knickerbocker, shirt tail young ones, peeking in the pool hall window after school. You got trouble, folks, right here in River City. Trouble with a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool.
Good Lord. Maybe that's why I see a musical happening in this. Whew. This one's going to be rough, guys.
It's going to be rough, but here's what worries me. I'll give them kudos. So what's the biggest complaints we've had in recent years? The trailer giving away the fucking plot of the movie. Well, this doesn't. And I think it'd be funny if someone comments like, oh, from Sweden. Oh, no, dude, that's the fucking movie. They give it all away. If that's the fucking movie, holy shit, what the fuck are we about to watch?
I hope it's entertaining as fuck. Obviously, here's hoping it's just one of those mind fuck movies that you just walk out of there going, what the fuck did I just watch?
Honestly, I felt a little bit like I felt when I saw the trailers for Midsommar, Hereditary. You know, I was kind of like, oh, what is this? You're not a huge fan of that style of storytelling. If that's what it's going to be, then I'm in for a long fucking night. I'm going to go in with the open mind. I've enjoyed the last couple of foreign films we've watched. Caught a nice string of some pretty good ones. So hopefully this continues the trend.
If you got an Ari Aster vibe out of that film, then
no.
I'm all for it.
I know you would be.
Damn, now I need to watch this trailer again and see if I think it might fit that style of storytelling, because then I might be a little more excited for it. But
well, it's lightning fast edits, dude. I mean, you have to watch that. There's like two or three trailers on there on the page I was on, too. So I might go check out the other one, and has the Colonel Sanders right on the front of it. That's the one I didn't look at.
Coco D, Coco Da, coming to Shudder on March 18th, and we will be reviewing it after that. Okay, so the trailer for Slacks. It's coming to Shudder March 18th. A possessed pair of jeans terrorizes trapped workers at a trendy clothing store. Good God, this looks dumb. Ziggy, talk about it.
Well, I was hoping that the trailer would clear some things up and maybe show me that this had potential to be something, anything redeeming. My only hope is they're going to take it so tongue-in-cheek and so not serious and make it so ridiculously over the top that it's entertaining that way. That's the only hope I have for this. I can't. I just can't, man. I'm not looking forward to watching it. If it's dumb, go for the dumb. Be the dumbest horror movie of all time, because that's the only thing that's going to save this, I think. I don't know, man.
I guess if the humor is good, that might help it, but the humor better be fucking on point to
work. Dude, it's going to have to be making fun of itself at every turn, every clip, every beat.
Colonel, thoughts?
Man, before this trailer, we heard about Slacks. I was like, killer pants. I was like, oh, God, this is going to be so stupid. After seeing the trailer, I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be stupid. But in a good way. I'm kind of with you. This made me a little more excited for it, because I think it's going to be the stupid, tongue-in-cheek, fucking gory horror film. Like, I'm thinking it's going to be a fun watch. Now, I'm not going to say, hey, this is going to be the greatest horror movie ever made. But, dude, it has to be better than some of those other ones we've seen. Like, after seeing that trailer, I'm like, okay, I'm actually kind of looking forward to it, because I can use a laugh. Based on this and the Coco Key, Coco Die, whatever, I'd rather watch Slacks.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So it's like, you know what? It's already moved up a couple bars on my excitement meter. It was where it was before I watched this trailer.
This one does not catch me at all. I'm really not a fan of dumb humor. I don't like a lot of humor that people think is funny nowadays. So if that's what they're going for, good luck. Hopefully it's smarter humor that I'll be into. But yeah, I have very, very low expectations for this.
Take a page from American Psycho, making fun of the yuppies again, referencing that. If you take that to this, think you got something.
What was that Jake Gyllenhaal movie we watched not too long ago on Netflix a couple of years ago about the art world?
Like Velvet Buzzsaw or some show.
Velvet Buzzsaw. If it kind of plays like Velvet Buzzsaw does, then maybe. But pants? God damn it, pants.
They're not pants or slacks.
I just think it implies just the fact of the fucking title alone, the subject matter alone, that it's exactly what they're going to do here. And yes, Velvet Buzzsaw would be, if you go in that vein, I can get on board with this.
All right, well. We'll find out March 18th, because that's when Slacks hits Shudder. And you know we're going to have to talk about this movie afterwards. So, oh yeah, get ready. Could be a bloodbath. So coming to video on demand March 30th, a little film called Witness Infection. And we just checked out the trailer. Two rival mob families band together to battle bloodthirsty zombies. Colonel, what are your thoughts on this one?
It combines pretty much almost all my favorite elements. Looks like you got a mobster movie with a zombie movie wrapped up with comedy in a nice little bow. Dude, I have a feeling this movie is going to be fucking great, or is going to be completely terrible. Like, there's no in-between on this movie. I think you're either going to love it or you're going to fucking hate it based on this trailer. So I think it looks great. Like, this is up my alley. It's like, if I was to ever fucking write a movie, this is the type of fucking horror movie I would write. The fucking stupid comedy. I mean, come on, he just keeps taking the gun and he's pointing it in his face. And he's like, don't do it. It's like, stop. It's just stupid shit like that. It could be fucking great, but it could be bad. My gut is telling me on this one, leave the gun, grab a cannoli, because this movie's going to be worth the watch.
Did you enjoy the Godfather trilogy?
A little bit.
We never talk about other movies, hardly. So we are always talking about horror. I'm curious now. I want to know what other classics you enjoy. This one, there seems to be a lot going on. Like the mob families are trying to combine by forcing an arranged marriage. And then zombie outbreak just happens out of nowhere. That seems like a regular day in witness protection, I guess.
Interesting. But I do feel like there's going to be balance problems with this, trying to keep it all straight. It's like Romeo and Juliet almost, like the marriage aspect of it and the two feuding families and, you know, I mean, the zombie element. Something different. Same thing. If executed properly, this could probably be a pretty entertaining flick. It's going to take some craft skill to balance this properly and make it work. And I'm not sure if it's there. Looking forward to it because, hell, zombies and mobsters, you know, there's going to be some piano wire stranglings or some shit going on in there that's going to help out with things. So, yeah, I think this could be really, really good. But, man, the figure looms in the background that could totally just overshadow this with crap. So hopefully it's not that. No expectations. I'm just going to say, all right, let's see what you got. I'm going to be as clean as I can with it, and then hopefully they deliver. Because I don't know, man. I keep coming to my mind. It's like, how are you going to be able to carry all these elements right without making it stupid?
That's one of the things I'm kind of worried about. How is it going to be balanced? One thing I do like, though, in this trailer at least, they do hit the humor the right way for me. For some reason, this style of humor I appreciate a little bit. Yeah. It looks like one of the characters tells one zombie, you know, hey, I got your shine box before he crushes his head or something. I think that's great. I love callbacks to other films, a little pop culture references. It seems like one of the characters gets called a pussy by a woman. And he's just like, you wait, when you use it, it's such a double standard. I like that kind of humor. If the movie is an hour and a half long version of the trailer, which trailers are supposed to be that way, then I should dig this movie. But Ziggy had a weird vibe about one of these trailers earlier. This one I've got an odd vibe about as well. And probably not for the same reasons, but I just have a feeling this one's not going to deliver. I hope it does, but I just have a feeling. One last thing I want to ask you guys about this. There is a quote attributed to some reviewer that's already seen this movie that says, hey, Jim Jarmusch, this is how you make a zombie movie with your friends. And I thought that was a kind of a dick slap in the face to Jarmusch for The Dead Don't Die, obviously, which I thought was a pretty good movie. Colonel, do you think that was kind of a backhanded or just front-handed insult to him?
It's definitely a front-handed insult. It was clear as fucking day. They did not hide it.
Mm-hmm.
But let's be honest, while Crank enjoyed The Dead Don't Die, majority of people did not. I honestly think maybe the humor played an aspect to it. I love everything from highbrow to lowbrow humor, there's no in between for me. I love any type of humor. I find any type of humor funny. Unfortunately, a lot of people, if you have to think about a joke, it is not funny to them. I just think the humor didn't play off where we're getting a little more slapstick in your face. Ha ha.
Yeah.
Humor of this one is where Dead Don't Die. It's a thinking man. It's a subtle humor.
Yeah. I don't know the relationship between those guys. He could be totally fucking with them. Who knows? But I see what he's coming from. If this fucking movie sucks, this guy loses all credibility. So that's really all you can say about it. Because, you know, I didn't hate The Dead Don't Die, but I also don't think that's a zombie movie. By design, Dead Don't Die is not a zombie movie. So, I mean, I don't know. This reviewer here, I'm not sure what the fuck he's talking about. Because maybe he didn't get it. I got to see this movie first for the context. And then I'll be able to address it a little bit better.
That's something we'll talk about when we review the film. And we'll probably have a review for you the day this movie comes out, March 30th. So stay tuned for that. And yeah, Witness Infection. Let us know what you think of this one, because this one looks like it could be good, but could just flop. We'll see.